Okay, bow your heads with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be in your house together today. And Lord, your word says in Proverbs 3 that we are to honor the Lord with our wealth, with the first fruits of all our crops. And then our barns will be filled to overflowing and our vats will brim over with new wine. And so, Lord, we acknowledge today that you are the giver of every perfect gift. We want to worship you and honor you with the income and resources you provide us by first giving to see that the ministry of the church is carried out and your kingdom is built in our community, state, nation, and world. We ask that you would guard our hearts regarding finances, help us to give with pure motive, not seeking what you will give us in return, not in compulsion, but according to your will for us and in such a way that shows money has no hold over us. Grant us freedom in giving. Grant us freedom in following you. May we be filled with excitement at the thought of being your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which you prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Show us the way, Lord. Show us what it looks like to love you to such an extent that it would seem that we hate our own family. Lord, help us to carry the cross that you give us as individuals and to do so in a way that honors and glorifies you and points people to Christ. And Lord, we want to give every part of ourselves and our possessions over to your lordship. Help us to understand how you want to use us and everything we own for your glory, Lord, today and every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, I was reading next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. There will be 150,000 people in Miami, Florida. Only 65,000 will be able to get in to see the game. So I've read that there's some 55,000 in our community, and hopefully we'll have about that crowd next Sunday here at our Super Bowl service. So next Sunday is going to be a great day in the Lord. Why are y'all smiling? I mean, hey, if a football can pull people together, can't the Bible, man? Why is it, though, that the Bible don't pull people together? Why is it that we don't come together many times? Why is it that the Christian life is such a struggle? Why is it that so many people in the church today are hurting? I want to submit to you a simple solution. Both feet in. If you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, you're going to get hurt. Right? You can't straddle the fence. If you straddle the fence, you might get messed up. Because I'm telling you, that is no way to have victory in your life. Jesus said it best. He said, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. But if you try to find your life, you're going to lose it. And a lot of people out there are just sort of lost. I'm preaching a series I'm calling 2020 Vision. God wants us to be focused. And so when I read this first verse, don't get mad at God. Don't get upset. Wait till we understand it, okay? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke. Luke chapter 14. We'll begin with verse 26. I thought last Sunday was awesome. What a great day in the Lord. Amen? Amen. I'll tell you, the man, that was Super Bowl Sunday last Sunday. It seemed like it's been a long time ago. But it was a great day. And so I'm thinking this, get upset with me about this. But next Sunday, I just might turn loose and just let anybody give a testimony. You know what Jesus did with women? He embraced them. You know, we men sometimes belittle women. And back in the Bible days, women were nothing, just property. But Jesus made something out of them. You know what he did? He held up high. Women, he did. The woman at the well, yeah, she'd messed up, but what did Jesus do? He loved her and he forgave her. You know, the thing about it is we all need love and forgiveness. And we all got a testimony. So on Super Bowl Sunday, I want you to come ready. And if God's given you a word, I want you to feel free to share it. I'm not going to hold you back. You say, well, what if my testimony takes over your preaching? Well, that'll be all right. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. All right, so just let God be God. Amen? All right, Luke 14, 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Look down at verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I know your word holds great, great truths. We'll never exhaust, not even one verse. But I pray your Holy Spirit today would teach us your truth, and that God, from the youngest to the oldest today, we'll walk out of here saying, well, we've heard from God. We've been with Jesus. I pray now for your fresh oil, that you would speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority. Thus saith the Lord. I pray for your divine enablement and your holy unction, to the end that you would be glorified and that some life would be changed, is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Now, what Jesus is doing here is rather radical. It's strong. He wants his disciples to have a 20/20 vision. He's trying to get his disciples to focus. Luke 14:26 is all about this kind of focus, 20/20 vision, 20/20 focus, and to set your priorities. The Lord tells people what it will cost to have both feet in following him. Verse 25 tells us that a great crowd was following him. Jesus was more interested, though, in building his church than having a big crowd. Jesus was more about building his church than building a great crowd. You can get a great crowd to follow most anything, but Jesus is wanting both feet in the church, not just in a crowd. You can draw a crowd, and Jesus drew a crowd, but the Bible says many forsook him when he gave them the 20/20 vision of what it means to follow him. You can only gather a church through evangelism and discipleship, the Bible says. So the Lord turned and began to address the crowd, and he wants to be crystal clear about what he means when it comes to both feet in. So my first point today is that we're taught by the book. Now, what is meant by the book? In the military service, they often use the phrase, go by the book. The book they are referring to is the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It spells out all the do's and don'ts of military life. If a serviceman follows it to the letter, he will stay out of trouble and receive promotions. He'll be promoted. But if he doesn't, military justice is swift and sure. Going by the book will save your life, and it will save the life of others. There's another book that is even more important. It's the Bible. It's God's book. It spells out the do's and the don'ts of the Christian life. And for those who follow it to the letter, the Lord promises great blessing and spiritual promotions. But for those who will not, the justice is promised to be swift and sure. The rewards and blessings of going by the book is too numerous to even count. Christian friend, always remember, go strictly by the book. So I'm going to be throwing that phrase up there constantly, going by the book. How are we going to get both feet in? We're going to go by the book. Number one, by practicing the book. You got to do what it says. The Bible says, if any man come to me, in verse 26, and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sister, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. By hate your family, the Lord does not mean a carnal, worldly hatred. Hate is metaphorical. We know that because almost everywhere in this book, he tells us we're to love our family. We're to love one another. So there's not a contradiction here. Here's what he means. For the Christian, the family cannot be an idol. The priority for going by the book is to practice the book, and that is do what it says. Don't be divided and distracted even by your wife or your children or your family. That's what he's saying here. You know, Paul said it would be better for you maybe not to be married if it's going to be a distraction. And so what God is saying, what Jesus is wanting us to understand, he deserves our undivided attention. Amen? Amen. We shouldn't be distracted. But so many things in this life can distract us. Amen? Amen? I know some of you were studying in Job. And Job 2, 9 and 10 says, "Then said his wife unto him, Doest thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What?" I love his answer. "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job went by the book, and God doubled all that Job had. It pays to go by the book. Amen? And I want to give you one more verse quickly. It's in James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. So God deserves our undivided attention. Amen? Let's give it to him this morning. Let's give it to him in our life. 2020 vision. With both feet in, let's live by the book. Let's preach the blood. Now, you say, "Pastor, why would you use that as a point?" Well, that's my second point. Preach the blood, Johnny. That's what we want to do. If we don't preach the blood, we're not preaching this book. Amen. There it is. Preach the blood. Why? Because from Genesis to Revelation, you will see a red line. It's all about the blood. Let me tell you something. We need to preach the blood like never before. Preach the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only atoning factor that there is in all eternity to keep man out of hell and guarantee man heaven. The precious red, ruby, royal blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, his blood redeems us. There was a price against us that we could not pay. But the blood of Jesus, 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." His blood gives power over the devil. It's the blood that Satan fears. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him," Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb." The devil doesn't want you to learn about the blood. He hates the blood. But let's preach the blood, because we're going to go by the book, the Bible. And you're not going by the book if you don't preach the blood. It's the blood that washes man's sins away whiter than snow. And then we got to proclaim this book. We got to proclaim the Bible. B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Well, if we stand on it, we need to know how to proclaim it. We must proclaim it because it is truth. If we are to go by the book, we must declare the truth to everyone we meet. It's a funny thing. We can talk about the weather, but we can't talk about the Word. Every one of us, we'll bring up weather as quick as anything. Why can't we bring up the Word of God? The Word of God gives life. The Word of God changes lives. You want to be a church with both feet in? You want to be a Christian with both feet in? Then get in the Word and let the Word get into you. Buy the book. I'm having to move quickly. I don't want to, but I got to get to the main point. I'm laying a foundation. That's what Jesus is doing with disciple making here. He's saying, you got to have a right vision, a 2020 vision. You got to see what I'm saying is more important than anything else in your life, even your family. Buy the book and then build the body. Build the body. Buy the book. Verse 28 talks about building a tower. He gives an illustration. I didn't read all that. But I want to talk about building the body of Christ. To go by the book, we must teach discipleship. Notice what he says in verse 28 when he talks about building the tower. He says, you got to count the costs. Both feet in. If we're going to build the body by the book, we must hear the Great Commission from the book. And here's the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-20. "Go ye therefore and teach," that is, make disciples, "of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I will be with you even unto the end of the world." Helping each other grow will cost you something. And folks, let me tell you something. This is the number one problem I see in the church today. There's no such thing as discipleship. And I'll tell you, I've come to this conclusion because it's going to cost us all something to disciple each other. I am so proud of some families. I was so proud at the Band of Brothers, our last meeting. One man spoke up and said he's discipling his children. That's where it starts at. Disciple your children. These little ushers down here, you know what we're doing? We're discipling them. We are teaching them. We are training them. This is important, church. I said this is important. Why is it so important? I'll tell you why. It's the only church God's going to bless. God's not going to bless a church with a bunch of programs. God's not going to bless a church with a bunch of man's plans. He's only going to bless the church who's fulfilling His great commission. That's the church God's going to honor. Are y'all hearing me this morning? He says, there's no option here. This has ended up being the great omission, but the great commission says, go ye therefore and teach, make disciples, grow other Christians. We need people today to be growing the Lord. Time is a great investment into someone's life. If we continue, he says, then you are my disciples. If you turn back, then you never knew me, he said. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. You see, a true disciple has a stick-to-itness. He's grown in the Lord. He's got both feet in. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's going to do. It's a journey to surrender and sacrifice and service. No, it's not easy, and that's why the church is not doing it today. We want the easy way. We want to come to church and be entertained. But God hadn't called His church to be entertained. He's called us to make disciples, church. And if we make disciples, guess what will happen? There will be a multiplication. Had it not been, you probably wouldn't have got saved. Because Jesus took time with those disciples and He trained them. And from those 12, look at the millions of people have come to Christ today. Yeah, that's what God will do through His people when we are obedient, when we're doing it by the book. We got to build the body. I'm going to talk about a hard word now, division. 1 Corinthians 12:25, so that there would be no schism, in the King James Version says, so that there would be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Matthew 12:25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If we're going to build the body by the book, then we've got to do what the book says. And here's what the book says. Ephesians 4:2-6. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, that's patience, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring is a good word. You got to work at it. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and is in you all. Amen. Friend, cliques in the church don't get it. God help the church with cliques, and every church has them. We are drawn to the people we know. We're drawn to hang out with the people we like. Aren't you glad Jesus was never about cliques? No, He ate with the sinners. Amen. He went to the people that no one else wanted to have anything else to do with. The woman at the well again. No one, none of the women, no one wanted to have anything to do with her. Except when she went back into the city, come in and hear a man that's told me all that I've ever done. All those men came out real quick because she'd been with all those men. And they all came out. And guess what? God used that woman to save that city. Amen? She was a missionary. I'm telling you something, friend. God hates cliques. And no church should have cliques. But we do. Going back to family. You know, it's easy for a church to have a clique with the family. Yeah. Well, my family is the church. No. I remember someone said to me years ago, said, Preacher Ronnie, where's my family? I said, right here. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? That's the way we've got to look at it. And the Bible says, and I love 1 Corinthians 12, that God puts every member in the body as it pleases Him. So if you're not pleased with the people that God's put in this body, take it up with Him, because He's the one who did it. Amen? You say, well, I don't like so-and-so. Well, God loves so-and-so. And God is pleased that he's here or she's here. Amen? And that's the next thing I want to talk about, and that is devoted. the scripture there, "For as the body is one, hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." We're showing the world what Christ looks like. So I looked up this word devoted. I like the definitions. I got two of them. They were so good. Webster defines devoted as very loving and loyal. That's a good word for the church. Very loving and loyal. But then I really like Cambridge's English definition. That's another dictionary. It says the same thing, basically, but I like the way it worded it. Extremely loving and loyal. I just think we ought to be extremes when it comes about love. Amen? What if we loved each other the way God loves us? Good gracious, we wouldn't be looking at each other's sins, because His love, His grace covers a multitude of sin. Oh, we as Christians sometimes are the first to point out each other's sin. But friend, if we love one another, what are we going to do? We're going to help each other through the sin. Amen? We're not going to condemn you. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you have sin, if you have messed up, what are we supposed to do? Love them. Love them through it. When I came here 6 years ago, I had five couples here living together. As a pastor, it would have been easy to condemn somebody. But you know what I did? Married four of them. The fifth one couldn't wait. He ran to South Carolina. But anyway, I did all those weddings. Didn't condemn nobody. Why condemn them? You're not going to reach them that way. But love them. And you know what? They all are still in love. Because I told them if they ever messed up, I'd come kill both of them. No, marriage is still death do your part. So, just kidding. I'm not going to kill nobody, no. John 13:35 says this, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Do I need to say any more? This is how the world's going to know how we love each other, how we're devoted in building the body of Christ by the book. By the book, let's break the bondage. We're going to move quickly because this is where I want to get to. I'm doing good with time. Break the bondage. Now, I could have stayed on those other two topics all day, but you know what? We're getting where the rubber meets the road here. Break the bondage by the book. Now, there's a lot of bondage. People are in more bondage. Christian people, man, they're struggling. Marriages are struggling. There's all kinds of addictions. Man, we all've got bondage. If you don't think you have bondage, let me just go ahead and assure you, you do. Everybody here is facing something. Everyone here today is in some kind of bondage. Look at verse 27. "And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." If God will use us to break the chains in our lives, we cannot do it on our own. We want to see prayers answered, church. We want to see bondage broken. But to be a Christian disciple, we must go by the book and count the cost. These are going to be hard for you to hear, and this is deep, so get ready. Pull up your socks. We're going to go dive in. Both feet in now. Here's where we are. We want to break the bondage. You know one thing we got to do? We got to deal with what the bondage is, and we got to do it by the book. So this is by the book. Number one, Christian, quote, unquote, without a cost. In other words, we want to be called a Christian as long as it don't cost me anything. Verse 27, "And whosoever doeth not bear." David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, "I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing." Counting the cost means considering what the Lord requires of you as you don't turn back when you're forced to pay up. We must look squarely at the cost of following Jesus as disciples and then commit ourselves with that knowledge. Do you have enough to complete the tower or to go to war, as he says in the following verses here? Will you persevere until the end, no matter what? Will you deny yourself in order to serve him? Will you serve him no matter the family pressure that's upon you? Will you endure hardship like a good soldier for the sake of knowing him? Or will you let those things make you ashamed and turn back? The point is to count the cost and embrace it because it's worth it. Amen? Because it's worth it. Listen to this statement. You might want to write this one down. Salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. Salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. It costs to live the Christian life, to live separate from the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. You'll be glad that you live for Jesus in the end. Amen? I believe I'll shed this coat. Folks, I'm telling you something. To be a Christian, you've got to pay a price. Jesus paid a price for you. He purchased you with his own blood. Why can't you and I be willing to give up some pleasures of this world? The pleasures of this world will do you in. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Being a Christian will be worth it all. You see, we're so focused on time instead of eternity. Because one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You can't be a Christian without a cost. It cost him everything. And what he wants from you is for you to live for him with both feet in. Know the direction you're going in. We're going to talk about that more in a minute. Salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. Second of all, Christian without a cross. Christian without a cross. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross. To break bondage, we cannot be a Christian disciple without carrying a cross. Every disciple has a cross to bear. We must pick it up and we must carry it, the Bible says, daily. Every day, that cross, you see, is the symbol of our dying. He died on the cross. When we baptize someone, it's symbolic of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're saying, I'm dying to my old life, but I'm resurrected into a new life. By the way, that's Super Bowl Sunday, when Jesus got up from the grave. Christian without a cross. That cross is our dying. It's our self-denial. It's joining the Savior in his suffering so that we can advance his kingdom. Jesus teaches that cross-carrying is essential, not incidental, to the Christian life. Our crosses look different. For one, it's family persecution. For another, it's remaining sexually pure. For another, it's dealing with addictions. For another, it's refusing corruption. They differ, but we all have one. To be disciples, we must be willing to carry our cross. And folks, Jesus, he carried his cross and he went all the way to Calvary. He paid our sin debt, and we need to deal with our sin and understand what sin is. Let's don't label it. Let's just call it what it is. You know, man has a way of labeling things. We want to say, well, it's just an abortion. No, God calls it murder. Another example, that's just alcoholism. It's a sickness. No, the Bible calls it a sin. It's drunkenness. Okay? Some would say, well, it's homosexuality. God says it's an abomination. Jesus died for all that stuff. You say, Preacher Ronnie, would you be willing to accept all the gay people into Gorge Springs? Every one of them. Jesus died for them. He'll forgive them. He'll cleanse them. They'll have a whole new life. You won't have to struggle no more with your identity, whether you're a male or female. I never got that. I've always known what I was. You know, I've never had a problem with being a man. Amen, brother. I thought I'd get one amen from one brother. Hey, amen. I mean, friend, I just don't see it. But here's the thing. Whatever cross, whatever bondage you find yourself in, I'm telling you something. Jesus took care of it on his cross, and you need to bear your cross. And then Christian without a call. He says, and come after me and cannot be my disciple. I'm broken that down. He says, the Christian without a cross, and whosoever doeth not bear his cross, that's a Christian without a cross, and then a Christian without a call. Come after me, cannot be my disciple. You see, we want God to do something great in our life. We want victory. We want to be disciples, don't we? But it's a call from God. You see, we want to see the goodness of God. We want to be called Christian. We want to go to heaven without hearing the call to be a disciple. The call is to be a chain-breaking disciple. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've been called to break these chains in the name of Jesus. You can't do it in your strength. You can't do it on your own. You've got the name Christian. You've been called Christian because you're to be like Christ. You are called to be a Christian because we're to follow Christ. We're to be like a little Christ. We are the body of Christ. We've been called to a higher calling, and I think it's time that we start living like it. Amen. Both feet in understands that. That's 2020 vision. Hey, I've been called. I am a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Friend, we've been called not to look and act like the world. We've been called to be separate from the world. We've got a high calling in Christ Jesus. Don't lower the standard. I'll never forget, I was sitting in my little study there years ago, and my son came in and said, "Dad, I dunked the ball today." I said, "Son," I mean, he's about what, 3 or 4 foot tall. That goal's 10 foot. I said, "There ain't no way, Jonathan, you dunked the ball." He said, "Daddy, come out here. I'll show you how I did it." And he went out there and he dunked that ball. But you know what? I forgot that gold and that post has a crank on it. He cranked the thing down and got it at his level. And he dunked the ball. And that's where we are today as Christians. You see, we've lowered the standard. And we think, well, we're doing fine. I'm just as good as anybody else. But we've lowered the standard. Look here, by the book, God's never lowered the standard. It's the same. Same God, right? Same word, same Ten Commandments. He still has his word. We're going to do it by the book. Last, and wow, I'm doing really good here. Bind the broken. This is important, church. Bind the broken. Now remember, a disciple is a student, okay? He's a learner. Did y'all see that? He's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple is to be a chain breaker. He is called to make a difference. That's what a disciple is. You know, we are just starting discipleship. We've got, you know, of course, we've had our new members classes, but now we're doing a foundation class on Sunday. That's on Sunday morning. Right, Sunday morning. And then Sunday night's new members class. I'm teaching a child's new members class. We got Sunday school. And by the way, look up here, folks. If you're not in Sunday school, shame on you. How are you going to grow as a Christian? You need to be in a class, a small group that will interact. You know why a lot of people don't come to Sunday school? They don't want to interact. They don't want to be able to grow. But if you don't grow, listen, look up here. If you don't grow, I promise you the devil's going to eat your lunch. Oh, yeah. He'll have a heyday in your life. And we wonder, well, why can't I get my prayers answered? Why am I struggling? Why is the Christian life? I'll tell you why it's so hard, church. You got 1 foot in the world and you got 1 foot in the church. Get both feet in. I mean, I'm talking about dive into this. He's worth it. Amen? His word's worth it. Now we're going to get to the meat of this message. How to bind the broken. I believe that's what God's called us to do. And church, what I'm about to say is from straight from my heart. By the way, this message, man, this is hot off the press. And this is something that God just poured into my spirit. And this is what he's speaking to me about right now more than anything. Number one, the spirit-filled life. You see, it's so easy for Ronnie to live by the flesh. I've been doing that all my life. It's easy to do what the flesh wants to do. You know what I got to do? Look up here. Nothing. I don't have to do nothing. It's like a little child. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong. You have to teach a child to do right. Why don't you have to teach a child to do wrong? Comes natural, right? Well, it's natural for us to follow the flesh. And you know what? We're in that day. We're living in a day that the easy way seems to be the godly way. But no, by the book, if we're going to bind the broken, it requires a spirit-filled life. Verse 31 says, of Luke 14, of what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him or cometh against him with 20,000. Jesus said it best when he said, without me, you can do nothing. We must learn this. You don't quench his spirit. You don't grieve his spirit. We Baptists, sometimes we act like we're scared to death of the Holy Spirit. We're afraid that somebody's going to do something wild and outlandish. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. He never does anything according to this Bible. You want to hear it by the book? The Holy Spirit never does anything to bring attention to himself or to you. No, the job of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Father and the Son in all things. There's a reason 1 Corinthians 12 gives all the list of all the gifts of the Spirit, but then he turns right around in chapter 13 and he says, and without love, throw your gifts away. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Your gifts are no good, your spiritual gifts. Man, I've been in church where people said, well, I spoke in tongues. I'm more spiritual than you are. Well, that right there is from the devil. It is. No one's more spiritual. No one's any better. We're all the same at the foot of the cross. By the way, speaking of feet, Jesus washed them. You know what? He humbled himself. He was a servant leader. That's a spirit-filled life. A spirit-filled life is always thinking about what will glorify God, what will give God glory. Jesus said it right when he said, you can't do it without me. I love Isaiah 61:1. I believe it's a verse for me as a preacher. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. There's a lot of people bound up, but the Spirit can set you free. Paul and Silas, they were in the innermost prison. What were they doing? Were they complaining? Well, the pastor hadn't come to visit us yet. No, Paul and Silas were singing praises to God. Man, they were singing their heart out at the innermost prison. And what did God do? He set the captive free. He opened up the chains on there. They were in stocks. He opened up the inner prison. He opened up the outer prison. And here's Paul and Silas. And they're standing there, and the jailer says, well, you might as well just go and take my life. The king's going to kill me for y'all getting out of here. And Paul says, sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Nobody's left. And he led the jailer to the Lord. Let me tell you something. That's what the spirit-filled life is always thinking about others, thinking about lostness, thinking about how that people need the Lord. Did you know nobody's going to get saved here today but by the Spirit of God? I believe with all my heart, the Holy Spirit of God brings that conviction. And how does that work as far as building the body? Well, when you and I are in one accord, are y'all listening? Say amen. If we're all in one accord and the Spirit of God's flowing in here like a mighty river, it's going to touch the lost and they're going to get saved. Man, you can have Billy Graham up here preaching, but I don't mean anybody's going to get saved. Billy Graham can't save nobody. Ronnie Stewart can't save nobody. But Jesus can save anybody and everybody. It takes the Spirit of the living God to be at work. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon us as His disciples to bind the broken. And then the surrendered, fulfilled life. And I put that word fulfilled in there because you know what? I don't know if you've seen the little guy in the background there, but there's a couple of pictures. It's so weird. Can you show us one, brother? I don't know. The guy, it's so weird. His body, and I think I left all this out. I was in too much of a hurry. But his body is going one way and his feet's going the other. Did y'all see that? Y'all didn't see that. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, that reminds me of where the church is. Because we're doing things backwards. I mean, you got part of the body going this way, and the legs are going that way, and that's dysfunctional. That's, in my eyes, that's called a monster. That's something weird. I mean, anything with two heads is weird. Okay, so here's Jesus. He's the head of the body, right? You say, what's that got to do with the surrender, fulfilled life? The key is this, to building the body, to bind the broken. It's about us, listen, surrendering our lives so that the broken can be binded. We can bind the broken, okay? How can we help someone else if we're not surrendering our life daily to Christ? So likewise, he says in verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We struggle in life and especially in surrendering our lives to God because we don't know who we are really dealing with. If we knew who we were dealing with, we would surrender our lives quickly and total obedience. It would. We don't know what a mighty God we serve. Hello? Folks, when you got up this morning, you should have got up having a spell before breakfast, singing, oh, what a mighty God I serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels fall before him. Angels adore him. Whatever. I don't know how the words go. But everybody is surrendering. We need to surrender our lives every day, saying, God, more of you and less of me. This is what I pray every day. I pray this for myself. Lord, keep me close, keep me clear, keep me clean. And Lord, more of you and less of me. Because I don't need any more of me. I got all of me I need. You know the best thing that happened here today? if we could do this, it would be great. If we had a white flag and we could just say, all right, God, I'm tired. I've struggled enough. I've straddled this fence. But today, I'm surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be all in today, both feet in. I'm your disciple. I'm all yours, Lord. I surrender all, and all to you I give today. I surrender. I want the fulfilled life. I don't want just a settle for life. I want a real life. Sherry and I made this agreement this year, 2020. We would not endure life. We would enjoy life. Amen. And if you only knew how much fun me and this lady have. I mean, we laugh, we carry on, and most of the time she looks at me like, are you crazy? And I want to tell her I'm crazy going up, but not crazy going down. Amen? I'm telling you something. That was a school teacher. They told I started morning devotions in my high school, and one of the teachers, and back then I had boldness. I've calmed down a lot now. But I was real old back then, and this teacher was talking about me, I mean in school, and told a whole classroom of students, that boy that started morning devotions is crazy. And I was bold because I would never done this. I'm a little ashamed that I did do it. I went by and I told that teacher, I said, at least I'm crazy going up, not crazy going down. I'm going to tell you something, I'd rather be crazy for Jesus than crazy for the devil. And I really believe life is short. And you better live it to the fullness, because tomorrow is never going to really get here. You know that? Because when tomorrow gets here, it's today. Y'all know that. Okay. So why not? Why not live every day with a full life? God wants your life to be filled. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Surrender your life, and I promise you, by the book, God will send blessing. When you do it, go by the book. When you go by the book and you surrender your life, quit labeling everything and saying, well, I've got a psychological problem here, and I need a psychiatrist here, and I've got to have this. No. Church, you know what? I probably had all those, I can't even remember what they all are, those attention disorders. I'm sure I've got them all. But when I was growing up, they didn't have no pills. And you didn't go to the doctor. You just got your fanny wore out all the time. And based on my experience, I must have had all those things because I got my fanny worn out all the time. But guess what? They beat it out of me. It pretty much must have worked. I'm still pretty wound. I mean, last night, I won't tell you about last night. I had a dream. Man, I had this dream, and I was telling this guy, I said, guy, are you crazy? He said, yeah, I want you to buy this car. It'll seat 14 people. I said, that's a cool car. And he showed me. Now, this was my dream. This will prove to you I'm crazy. I'm dreaming this dream. I said, how can this car seat 14 people? And I'm looking in, I'm going around. I said, well, there's no trunk. So you took up the trunk space and you added two seats there. He said, yeah. Then I go to the front and I said, well, man, there's no motor in this car. I said, no wonder you can seat 14 people in this car. You have no motor, you have no trunk. He said, yeah, but it'll seat 14 people. Without a motor, what good is it? It's not going to get you nowhere. And church, that's where we are. We may have 14 people, but if we're not hooked up with Jesus, if we don't have the power of God on us, and I'll tell you why we're not spirit-filled, because we're not surrendered. You got to surrender your life to God every day. And I know this ain't going to make sense to you, maybe the way I worded it, but I had to stick with my format here. The Savior's forgive. Well, I meant to say forgiving life. The point is, we got a Savior who will forgive every sin in your life. Amen. He will. You want to bind the broken? He gave up his life for my forgiveness. Then I need to give up my life for his forgiveness. Hebrews 7:25 says it best. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth, that is his life, to make intercession for us. So let's play with this slide for a minute. I'm done. Are you fully committed to following Christ? Well, here's the way I was looking at this. You may have both feet in, but if your feet are going the wrong way, you are a divided church. You can be a Christian and not have both feet in going the right way. So you know what? Now, would y'all think I'm really crazy if my body was going one way and my feet was going the other way? That's a dysfunctional body. That's a messed up body. But what God called us all to do is to be one body. You look up here, one body. And when Jesus is the head, we're all going in the same direction. Our vision is transforming our communities one person at a time. It's not going to happen until you and I are surrendered, spirit-filled disciples. Can I get an amen? We gotta say, hey, and Jesus said this, you gotta love me even more than you love your families. Is that fair? By the way, if you love him, listen to me, I'm trying to help you. If you love him, then you'll love your family right. Amen. 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 If you love him, everything else falls in place. That's why he said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbors, love yourself. Let's bow our head. Father, I know you're here today. You spoke to my heart with this message. And Lord, I know none of us have arrived. I know we've all got some kind of bondage. There's all kinds of addictions in all of our lives. But I thank you, Father, that you've given us the answer. And the answer is Christ. I pray that we as a church will be a church that's in Christ. We're not about drawing the crowds. You basically rebuke the crowds. Because you said to the crowd, if you're not willing to be my church, if you're not willing to be my disciple, then you can be no part of me. Father, I pray today every person, the sound of my voice, will make up their mind today. They're all in. They're all in. They're not holding nothing back. At this invitation, I pray that no one would hold anything back. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to deal with some addiction, some bondage. I pray they'll come today, and I pray the other members of this body will come and bind the broken and help them. Lord, we're not here to condemn anybody. We're not here to point out people's sin. God, help us to get away from any cliques. And I pray in Jesus' name that we'll just love each other. We want to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, may it happen today at this invitation. May we not hold nothing back, but may we all be in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's all stand. It's your life. You can do what you want to do, but both feet in, God will bless a surrendered life. Amen? When you surrender your all, a spirit-filled life, and we've got a Savior who will forgive you all your sins. Will you let him forgive you today as we sing? Will you come?